Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today is podcast number 1756. The topic is Q&A, and the title is, Should I Follow the Macro Suggestions on the Food Tracking App? This comes from a conversation with a client. This is someone I'm helping with nutrition review. Basically, we started back a couple months ago. I met with her, we talked about things, gave her some suggestions on what she should do with her food. She then took it for a couple months and reached out recently and said that she feels like her progress has kind of stalled out, and she asked if I could help. So I went through and I looked at her recent entries in the nutrition tracking app. I'm going to read you through a little bit of what I wrote with her, and then I'll kind of ad lib on there. So I logged into her MyFitnessPal. She uses MyFitnessPal. I said, I like to look over the past 7 to 14 days of a person's entries so we can see the trending data to then know what adjustments we can make based on the averages and the breadth of the daily numbers. Meaning, you know, the calories have a 1,000-calorie range from day to day, 400, you know, 200. How much do we range and vary from day to day? The numbers that I wrote down from her entries were calories, protein, and sugars, which is what I want to kind of focus on the most. Before, when we were working earlier, like several months ago, I gave her target numbers to aim for. Now, these are actually low, but she was coming from a place of under-eating before, so I didn't want to give her numbers that were too challenging to meet. I wanted to give it something where she could get some consistency, she could build up good, healthy habits, and then we'd be able to kind of tweak on and kind of change from there. So the number she had for her training days was somewhere between 1,350 calories to 1,500 calories. And then non-training days was 2,000 to 1,350. The protein, at least 80 grams of protein a day. And then sugars, try to keep it under 60 grams of sugar. Now, these are low calorie counts. I recognize that. But you'll hear here in a second that a lot of her trouble was is she actually underate the calories. Now, overall, she did well with the calories comparatively to the other numbers. So I won't read you through all of them because I actually went through and looked at 14 days worth of numbers. But once I wrote down the numbers, the calories, the grams of protein, the grams of sugar, it became kind of clear that we didn't need to adjust the targets in order to make progress. We actually weren't consistent with the targets. So I wrote, after listing the data above, I went through and highlighted days that we hit our targets in green and then days we didn't in red. For calories, if we were anywhere between 1,200 to 1,500 calories, I counted it as a good day. So even if she ate the training day calories on a non-training day or vice versa, it didn't matter. I just, like, you know, as long as you're somewhere within the range that we wanted. That shows us that we were within our targets 5 out of the last 14 days. So 5 days she hit the targets that we wanted for calories, protein, and sugar out of the 14. This indicates that we don't need to adjust the targets to get better progress. We have to be more consistent at hitting the targets. Now, this is actually very normal. I cannot tell you how many times people tell me, you know, oh, you know, maybe I'm not seeing what I want, or they suggest something to change to, you know, and I'm like, you're not, like, we got to hit the numbers and things we're going for first before we make changes. It doesn't matter what the hell we write on a piece of paper if we're not following the paper. So if they, for example, were following a diet and they said, yeah, I really hoped I would have been leaner by now, you know, can we lower the calorie targets? And then I look back and I'm like, you only hit the calorie targets 5 out of 14 days. It wouldn't matter if we lowered them because we're not even following them. Like, we're looking at the wrong thing. We shouldn't be changing what we're aiming towards. We should be changing whether or not we hit the target. That's the focus. So I continued and I said the greatest inconsistency was protein. We were low in protein 8 out of the 14 days. That is significant. This is significant in that higher protein helps reduce water retention, helps build muscle and strength, helps fuel the fat loss process. It gives the body kind of energy to metabolize stored fat and excrete it from the body as it kind of contributes towards that. And it helps to control our energy nutrient intake, meaning if our protein content is correct within the total calorie target, then that means we're controlling carb and fat intake. If my protein is very low, but my calories are on point, that means I actually have more carbs and fats than I should have. So if the calories that are being contributed by protein are very low, those calories had to be made up for in order to still be within the target. That means there was extra carbs and fats. Whereas if the protein is low, we should see that the calories are low as well, but we don't. So this means that they're overeating carbs and fats, which are our energy nutrients. And what that means is if protein is low, but we're still within our target calorie range, that means we've consumed more carbs and fats than we should have, which means we're not in the energy nutrient deficit that we thought the targets would create. And that means the body wouldn't be breaking down stored fat to cover a deficit, considering the deficit isn't there. So even though the calories are listed as a deficit, if what makes up and contributes to the calories is not the correct ratio of energy nutrients to protein, which is carbs and fats to protein, then that means we're over-consuming carbs and fats. Therefore, our body has enough energy. It doesn't need to pull from body fat to get energy. It just doesn't have enough protein. So you're not getting muscle repair. You're not getting muscle shape change. And like we said, it contributes towards water retention. There's a lot of things that are happening that it would look like was being controlled because calories were correct. But the makeup of the calories was not correct. So I continued, if over the next 14 days, we can be consistent with hitting all targets, at least 10 out of the 14 days, you'll have greater energy and you will see more body fat loss. To increase our protein, we want to look at our daily food entries. See which foods contain the greatest protein and then increase the portion sizes of those foods. And then to ensure calories aren't too high, we want to decrease the portion size of foods that are low in protein and that provide mostly just carbs and or fats. For example, we want to increase meat, dairy, protein powders, and other protein-rich foods, but we want to reduce bagels, breads, pasta, potato, rice, candy snacks, and other carb-dense, fat-dense foods. And then I gave her a couple podcasts to listen to, and I said, after reading through all the information above, do you have any questions I can help with? She answered, I think if I drink a protein shake in the morning, it will help me reach my goal and increase my protein at dinner. Right now, I only need to focus on protein and sugars, not fat and carbs, ? And I wrote, yes, those would be great adjustments, protein shake in the morning, larger portion, protein portions at night. And yes, keeping sugars under 60 grams a day will help as well. As for fats and carbs, there is no need to differentiate between the two specifically for fat loss. They both provide energy and if overconsumed will reduce or eliminate fat loss. And if chronically overconsumed can actually lead to body fat gains. So they've done studies on diets that focus on low fat versus low carb diets. And there is no difference in fat loss between the two diet models, assuming calories and proper deficits are controlled. So the choice then to have fats or carbs or a blend at any given meal would be dependent on food preferences, like what you like to eat, and then what you want from that meal in respect to energy. If you're about to be active, like say before a workout, you want to consume carbohydrates because they digest quicker. Whereas if you're inactive, say you're doing computer work, then you want fats since they digest slower. They would give a more steady release of energy into the bloodstream over the next couple hours until the next meal. So I gave her a couple more podcasts to listen to learn about that balance of fats versus carbs. She then answered, I was looking at my fat numbers in grams on MyFitnessPal. When I work out, it said 60 grams for all the past days, but today it said 50 grams. I know you said not to look at fat numbers right now. I am just a little confused as to why it has decreased fat by by 10 grams. So I answered, and then this is kind of leading to today's topic, is we won't be following the suggestions made by the app. Most nutrition tracking apps legally have to follow, or there's, you know, definitely a favoritism to follow, government acceptable nutritional standards, which are set with the intent to kind of control health as defined by like blood marker issues such as blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, and the overall intent to reduce obesity, which is through weight loss, but it doesn't have any focus, any attention given to body composition. So it wants weight loss, not specifically fat loss. Nutrition tracking apps want weight loss, tissue loss. They don't care if it's muscle tissue or fat tissue. They just want tissue gone. They want weight gone. So the recommendations by the apps will help you lose weight, but they don't have any considerations for whether you're losing muscle versus fat or how you feel through the process. Do you have good energy, low energy? How's your digestive quality? Are you eating foods you enjoy? Like, it doesn't have any of that considered. The general ratio that those apps promote is 30% fat, 50% carbohydrates, and 20% protein. And most apps adjust the recommended grams per day based on the recommended caloric needs for the day, which is why you might see the grams change. So if they know you're going to exercise and your type of exercise typically burns 250 calories, they believe you can eat 250 calories extra. Therefore, they'll increase the grams of fats, carbs, and protein in order to make up for that 250 calories, but it's based on the percentages of 30% fat, 50% carbs, 20% protein. Now, this is a general kind of how most apps work. I guarantee there are apps that are slightly different or tweaked in other ways, but this is generally how they work. The numbers that I provide to my clients, and I told this client there's more steps that we could take in the future, but the numbers that I give, they account for blood marker health. They account for quote unquote health, but they also account for energy balance, digestion quality, and body composition. We're trying to blend health nutrition and aesthetic nutrition, as well as performance nutrition. And they're all slightly different models of nutritional management. I actually, when I was going through my master's in nutrition, I had two of my professors as clients. Because although they knew health nutrition, I mean, gosh, they're freaking geniuses when it comes to health nutrition. They didn't know aesthetic nutrition or performance nutrition. And that's what I was able to help them with. I was able to help them lose body fat, but feel good and look good, maintain a good amount of muscle, actually improve muscle tissue, if not have better muscle, you know, definition as they lost fat. I was actually, two of my professors were my clients because these models of nutritional management are so different. So for now, I told them, the app will make suggestions, but we don't want to follow any of them. We want to use the app to track our foods, but we want to use the targets and numbers that we have instead of what the app says. Now, if you want to learn how to get the numbers for yourself, like the numbers that I would give to my clients, you can do that by going to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. And then on the website, there's a page that says free nutrition education. If you go to that page, the first document on there is titled Create Your Own Nutrition Program. You can view it, you can print it, and it'll tell you the calories you should have, the grams of protein you should have, and then that dictates what to do with your carbs and fats. So all of that is totally for free. You don't have to hire me to get the numbers. Go to our website, go to Free Nutrition Education, click on the document, Create Your Own Nutrition Program. So when it comes to macronutrient suggestions on food tracking apps, I personally would not follow them. I would follow the correct amount of calories and protein, as you would find out by the document that we have on our website. And then you eat carbs and fats based on what you need at each meal. So we have a podcast that I wanted her to listen to that I think everyone else will benefit from as well. It's podcast 1537. You can find that podcast on our website, www.berlinergym.com. Podcast 1537, it's a nutrition podcast titled, What Makes a Good Meal Good? And what makes a good meal good depends on what you need from that meal. And what you need from that meal will determine whether you should favor carbs or fats, or if you can have a blend. Okay? What Makes a Good Meal Good? Podcast 1537. Okay, so when it comes to food tracking apps, do not follow their suggestions. Go to the link in the document we said on our website. Find the proper numbers for you. That will balance health nutrition as well as aesthetic and performance nutrition. If you have any follow-up questions, shoot me an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you'd like help and coaching like I do with this client and all my clients, you can check out our one-on-one coaching services we have on our website. And again, that's www.brutalirongym.com. Okay, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on the website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.